We're going to go to the book of Acts, and we're going to start with, verse 4. Acts chapter 4, verse 1, excuse me. Acts chapter 4, verse 1, and we'll save what I had for tonight for another time, another place, because we're Spirit-led, right? And that's what we do. And thank the Lord for the Holy Ghost. Anybody glad for the Holy Ghost? Amen. Anybody glad for the presence of the Lord? And thank the Lord. And I would ask that whenever I'm done tonight that you don't leave right away. We want to honor the Bible quizzers, but I want to flow in the Spirit. So just give 5 minutes at the most tonight after service to honor them. And if you have it in your Bibles, would you say amen?
Amen.
And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, but being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold of the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of men was about 5,000. Let's go to verse 7. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, and by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doeth this man stand before him ye whole. This is the stone which was set at the not of the builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Notice verse 13. "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, that could say nothing against it." I want to talk to you on this thought. I don't know. I've been with Jesus. I don't know. I've been with Jesus. Would you put your Bibles down? Would you pray tonight that the Lord would help Pastor, that we would be unified in the Spirit? Come on, would you pray? Father, we come before you. We thank you. We thank you tonight, God, for the spirit of unity and revival of praise, God. Thank you for the Holy Ghost, God, and what you've done and what you're going to do, God. We thank you for the power of your name, God, the authority of your name, God. We pray that you would let my heart, my mind, God, be used as an oracle, as a vessel for you, God, for your glory and for your honor, oh God. We give you a hand clap, God. We applaud you, all that you've done and all that you're going to do, oh God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you. You can be seated. I don't know. I've been with Jesus. Amen. Well, what we've read is a continuation of what's taken place in Acts chapter 3 when Peter and John go to the temple, beautiful, and there's a lame man there. He was lame, and he was laying at the temple gate, and he was asking of alms. He was asking for money, and begin to think maybe of an assumption that people knew who this man was, and that he knew that folks were going to go to church, they were going to take money with them. They were gonna give an offering. They were gonna go to the temple, and it's a good thing to bring an offering of praise, but also stewardship of finances into the house of God. And so he's there, and he's asking for alms, and Peter and John go in with the hour of prayer, and they go and he's asking them for alms, and Peter looks on him and says, "Look on us," and he looked at them expecting to receive something, and Peter tells him, I don't have any money to give you." And he, in fact, the words that he uses, "Silver and gold have I none." But he says, "But such as I have, give I thee." And he grabs him by the hand and says, "In the name of Jesus Christ," he grabs him by his right hand and says, "Rise up and walk in the name of Jesus." And this man stood up and leaping and praising God goes into the temple and people see him and they're marveled because this man had been crippled for some time. I believe the scripture may have given us the amount of time he was crippled, but he was in the right place and was expecting to receive something. Now he may have went to expect to receive money in alms, but it was the expectation that he had in order to receive something. And here we are tonight. Some of us have come directly from work. We have come from school, and maybe you didn't have a chance to go home and eat or shower, and you're still wearing your work clothes. And I commend you for coming to the house of God. This is an important time of your day, and it's a critical moment in your spiritual walk with God. And this man had an expectation, and you've come tonight with an expectation. You've come with an expectation that you're going to go to the house of God, and there's going to be people there. You've come with an expectation that it's going to be nice and cool, and the music is going to be great, and the prayer is going to be awesome. But you've come maybe with needs and circumstances in your life, situations that you don't know the answers to. You don't know how it's going to work out. You're running towards the end of the month, and you're wondering, "Well, I got some things that are unfinished, and Lord, I need you to work on my behalf." And you know what? I've come to tell you, I don't know what's going to happen, but I know that we've been with Jesus, and with Jesus, anything is possible. I don't know what's going to come in the mail. I don't know how the answer is going to come, but one thing I know, we came into this house, and we've been with Jesus, and anything can happen for somebody tonight. Somebody say hallelujah. This man receives his healing. He receives his miracle, and it astonished those that were there watching and observing. And could you imagine this man? He probably thought he was just going to get enough money to scrape through the week or the day. Just something that is going to get me something to eat. Can I just get enough to get some food, or maybe to put a little aside for the next day, just in case I don't get enough from those people that are going to go into the temple. He knew that if I sit there, or if I lay there and I ask of alms, that I will receive something. There'll be something that I receive. And saints of God, it's the same thing with us, that we know if I could just get into the house of God, if I could just get to Wednesday night Bible study. I know there's a lot of distance between Sunday and Wednesday and Wednesday to Sunday, but if I could just get to Wednesday night Bible study, I know that pastor's going to pray. I know that the man of God's going to preach. I know that there's going to be something for my soul. I don't know what to tell you, but I can tell you, I've been with Jesus, and he's assured us that he'll never leave us. He won't forsake us. David said, "I've been young and I've been old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." I don't know how your situation's going to work out. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, "He doesn't know. But I know we serve the Almighty God. I know that he's got everything working out." The scripture says he's working it out for my good. And if God's working on it, it's working out, it'll happen. I talked to somebody today, and they were sharing with me some things. And one thing we agreed on, that God does not lie. And God has made promises for some of you. Guess what? God is not a man that he should lie. And if God says he's going to bless, then he's going to bless. If God says he's going to heal, then he's going to heal. If God says he's going to restore, then he's going to restore. If God said he's going to do something, he's going to do it. My God can do anything. And he doesn't lie. But the part of the story that we read, chapter 4, is about Peter and the courts. In fact, I believe the scripture tells us that it's Peter's sermon to the council, and they're asking him. He comes to the high priest, and there's those there that were gathered together in Jerusalem, and they ask him, by what power have you done what you've done with this man? By what power have you done to this man? Thank you. By what power have you done with this man? What authority have you been able to perform this miracle? What is it? And Peter, the awesome thing was, as Peter, just two chapters ago, had just received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and preached his first sermon, and then two chapters later, the scripture says, and Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel." He's about to preach another sermon, and he tells them, I know that there's some questions here, and you're wondering by what name or what authority that this man is standing here. And the awesome thing is Peter is there giving his sermon or testifying, that the man that was healed is standing right there next to him. It's like you receive a miracle and you bring your miracle with you. You know, people, they want to see facts, they want to see tangible things. Well, Peter showed them. There's no way to deny that this is the man that was laying at the temple, and now he's healed, and everybody saw him laying there, and then everybody sees him being healed and worshiping the name of the Lord, and you got questions. Well, guess what? I'll bring the facts. There's not going to be no circumstantial evidence here. You're not going to have to assume anything. I'm going to bring this man with me, and he's standing there, and they perceive, and they know that, well, this man, Peter, is unlearned. And he's ignorant. How would you like to be called unlearned and ignorant, and it be in a book that everybody's going to read? We all read it. Peter's unlearned and ignorant. He was a fisherman, and Peter's standing there with boldness, tells him that there's only one way to explain it. That there's no salvation in any other name but the name of Jesus. Amen. And it's by the name of Jesus, or the power of the name of Jesus and the authority of the name of Jesus, that this man was healed. And they were marveled, and they took knowledge of him. And the part that really stands out is they took knowledge that they have been with Jesus. They had an encounter with Jesus. Now, I want to preach to somebody tonight that everybody is going through something or dealing with something. And maybe you have shared your something or your issue or problem or a situation. The unspoken request maybe has been let out a little bit, and people are aware of it, maybe on your job or family members, and they're all kind of standing back and waiting for the hammer to fall. They're kind of just waiting to see what's going to happen. How are they going to get through it? You know, they've been talking about church, and they've been talking about being faithful, and they've been good stewards of time, of talent, of finances. They've tried to have a good testimony, a good report. They've tried to be good Christians and apostolic Pentecostals, and they're real faithful. And they I've seen them lately, kind of with their head down a little bit, and you're just kind of staying quiet, and you maybe don't have that chipper Holy Ghost smile, those pearly whites that you used to have, and you're feeling worn down. You're feeling weak. You're feeling irritated. You're frustrated. You got concerns. You even have some complaints, and you don't really understand how it's all going to be pieced together, but you have faith in God. You have trust in God. You know that just a little faith, it doesn't have to be big faith, but just a little bit of faith is sufficient. And you know that God is faithful, but you're wondering, God, when and how and who and how much more can I take? And what is it, oh God, you're trying to teach me? Then there's trial or the circumstance. What is it, Lord, that I didn't learn the first time, that I'm going through it again, Lord? What is it, God, that you're trying to show me, oh God? I'm weary, Lord. I've got this spiritual man inside of me that is hungry, wanting to do things for you, God. But I got financial adversity. I got health issues. I got children and backslidden kids that are giving me a rough time. I've got things on my job that if I could find another job, I would just turn in my notice and resign on the spot. But oh God, I know that there's something that you have better for me, oh God. And I've come to tell somebody, I don't know. I don't have a tangible answer for you, but I can tell you that you've been in the house of God, and you can pour out your worries and your troubles and your heartache and your problems and your frustration to God, and He will give you the strength. He will help you to endure. I don't know the answer. I don't have the money, but I can tell you who does. I can tell you who will. I can tell you who knows. I can tell you who's going to see you through the end. We got to have the faith tonight to believe that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You may feel like you're unlearned. You may feel a little bit out of sorts. You don't have the experience to deal with the stuff that you're going through. It's like more and more is coming upon you. You want to have a revival of praise. That maybe it is a sacrifice of praise. You want to give in the offering, and it is a sacrifice to keep those commitments. You want to be available to be a witness for somebody, but you need someone to be a witness to you. You feel down on how you want to be a testimony to somebody, but you got to hear a testimony for yourself. You got to hear some hope for yourself. You've come in on a midweek Wednesday night because you know it's the right thing to do. You know that if you could get to the house of God, God will be there, and He'll see you, and He'll help you. I come to tell you, He's not going to disappoint you, because all service long, we have felt His presence. And I'm preaching to somebody in the Holy Ghost that He won't disappoint you tonight. He'll help you. He'll see you through. He'll make a way for you. How's He going to make a way? I don't know, but He's God, and He'll do it His way, how He feels like it, when He thinks it's best. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Unlearned. I don't have the answers to everything. You don't have the answers to everything. But He's got the answers to everything. In fact, this, what we may be experiencing or going through, it's not new to Him. It may be different faces. It may be different places, but our God, He's unchangeable. He's immutable. He doesn't change. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. The God that I serve answers prayers. Let me share with you a testimony. We've been praying for a long time. I don't know. I want to say maybe a year for a little boy. I've never met this little boy, but his name is Eli or Elijah, and he's the grandson of Sister Mary and Brother Ernie, and we've been praying for him. He's a little guy, and he's got severe heart issues. In fact, we put him on his name on the screen, and how old is he roughly? He's three. So we've been praying for him for a long time. And we put his name up on the screen. And on Thursday nights, if you're here on prayer meeting, we wrap up with prayer requests. And every Thursday night, whether Brother Ernie's here or not, or Sister Mendoza's here or not, we pray for this little guy. And he had to have some significant heart surgery. In fact, I didn't even know this until today, but the last time the medical professionals did this kind of a heart surgery was 20 or so years ago, or I believe the lady that had it last is in her 30s now, and so it's been a long time since they've done this, and this little guy has been so sick, and they had a surgery plan, and they couldn't do their surgery because he was sick, and he's been in Los Angeles, he's been in Santa Barbara, he's been all over the place, a little three-year-old, some severe heart issues, but we pray, and we believe that God can work out situations, so we pray for this little guy, and just a couple days ago, I believe it was on Monday, they were able to schedule the surgery, and they were able to perform the surgery successful. And they turn around and they ask, the family's saying, well, you know, I don't understand why we're going through this. And I don't understand why this little guy is going through this. And the doctors are saying, we've never seen situations like this in a long time. But can I tell you, God answered our prayer. God made a way for that little guy to have the surgery, and he's doing well, and he's doing great. You know what? I don't have all the answers, but one thing I do know, that my God does, and I'll give God the glory, and I'll give God the praise for what he's done and what he's gonna do. Somebody give God a praise. Somebody rejoice before the Lord our God. You gotta sometimes worship and praise and dance and glorify as if God has already answered your prayer. Somebody say hallelujah. I can get a little bit more monitor, Brother Andrew, for me, please. Thank you. It's the answers to the prayers of the saints of what God does. How many of you could testify tonight that in the last 30 days, God has answered a prayer for you? Look at that. Stand to your feet. Look at that. Stand. Let's stand up. Look around. Look at all the prayers. We still got a couple more days in the month. In fact, July 1st is not even here yet, but look what the Lord has done. Somebody give God some praise. Somebody give God some thanks, because if he's done it for you, he can do it for somebody else. I don't know when, I don't know how, but I've been with Jesus. Call it what you want, but I serve a God that is able to do anything for anybody. Call it what you want. He's a miracle worker. He's a miracle worker. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost in here. I believe somebody tonight, your situation's gonna change. I believe tonight somebody is gonna leave here, and by Sunday morning, you're gonna have the answer. You're gonna have the situation under control. I believe it. I feel it in the Holy Ghost. You gotta reach up and say, Lord, it's me. I'm the one, Lord. I'm the one that's been waiting and needing and asking and pleading, God. Not my brother, but it's me, oh God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. He ta-da-da-da-da-da-da. I've been with Jesus. I've been with Jesus. You go to work the next day. What happened? I've been with Jesus. What took place? I've been with Jesus. I thought you were going to quit. Nah, I've been with Jesus. I thought you were going to die. Nah, I've been with Jesus. I thought you were going to close up shop. No, I've been with Jesus. You looked like everything was going to fall apart. It was, but I've been with Jesus. I went to church on Wednesday night, and I got to fill up. It was a refreshing from the Lord. Times of refreshing. It's time for a refreshing in the Holy Ghost tonight for somebody. Somebody say yes. Hallelujah. Times of refreshing. It's a time of refreshing. That's what we need tonight, is a time of refreshing. The scripture tells us in Acts 3:19 says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. That's why we feel refreshed in the Holy Ghost when we come to the house of God. And I gotta tell you, the common denominator was unity and prayer. It was unity and pre-service prayer. I'm telling you folks, those of you that have gotten the revelation of prayer, just consistent prayer, it'll change your life. It'll make an impact. But therefore, times of refreshing will come from the presence of the Lord. That's why you can walk into a meeting and say a prayer and there be peace. It was on Father's Day. Walked in to a business establishment and went to see somebody there. And it was kind of one of those spur of the moment things. Just happened. And walked in, spent some time at the establishment with a lady, and we get back in the car, and I get a text message from a pastor that knows this lady, and begins to tell me about how much of an impact Sister Pinero and I's visit had meant, and we didn't even pray for this person. And he said, but she feels peace. Amen. And in fact, she had been going through some things, and he said, now she feels peace. Can I tell you why this lady felt peace? It's because we were connected in the Spirit. And no glory to me. It was glory to God. There was no prayer meeting that took place. There was no Bible study. There was no church service. But there was a time of refreshing because of the presence of the Lord. Are we carry the Holy Ghost, the presence of God, the Spirit of the living God inside of us. And it's up to us to keep the presence and the Spirit of God filled up. Paul said to Timothy, stir up the gift that is inside you. Stir it up inside you. There's something inside of us that's got to be stirred up. And that's what's happening tonight in the Spirit, is there's a stirring in the Spirit because we're united. Because there's something that the Spirit, the musicians would come, that the Spirit is calling unto the church, saying, you know what? I don't know what's going to happen, but I know who does. And I know he wants to do something for somebody tonight. Who's it going to be? Who is going to receive their healing? Who is going to receive their miracle? Who is going to receive their blessing? Who will stand tonight? Who will come to the altar? Who will lift their voice? Who will cry out unto the Lord and say, it's me, oh God. I'm the one that needs the need. I'm the one that needs the blessing. Come on. Would you step out of the aisle? Would you come to the front? Would you begin to talk to the Lord and say, it's me? You get home tonight. They ask you, what happened? How I've been with Jesus. That's what happened. I've been with Jesus. Walk into a meeting tomorrow expecting something bad. I've been with Jesus. Been so stressed out. But not anymore, because I've been with Jesus. What happened? I don't know. But I've been with Jesus. I've been with Jesus. I've been with Jesus. It was blind Bartimaeus. He was blind. But he was desperate. But he was healed because he was with Jesus. Your cup may be empty tonight. But our God's not empty. He can fill you up tonight. Will you let Him fill up your cup? Will you let Him fill it up tonight? Would you lift your voices, lift your hands? It's time for a refreshing from the presence of the Lord. Come on, don't be shy. This is what you came for. In fact, this is what you need.
My cup is empty.
It's like a drink of water.
But you can make
it's refreshing.
It
oh, hallelujah.
So here's my cup, Lord.
Come on, there it is.
So here's my cup. Won't you fill it up as full as it can be?
Come and get it at the altar.
Let the overflow overwhelm.
Come receive it at the altar.
Make my life complete. Overflow.
Pastor doesn't know.
Let it overflow.
But we've been with Jesus tonight.
Overflow.
He'll lead you.
I need overflow.
He'll guide you. He'll help you. He'll take care of you. You're not forsaken. You don't understand.
But you can make it overflow.
Don't get weary in well doing.
Because
in due season you'll reap. If you faint not.
My heart is empty. But you can make it overflow.
Blessed be the name of the Lord tonight. He's good.
So here's my heart, though.
He's good tonight.
So here's my heart, every single part.
He's been good to you.
Give it all to you.
And he'll continue to be good to you.
The overflow, refresh.
You're his child.
Make me new.
You're the apple of his eye.